Hello, welcome to NC Asia and American Ministries podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, and I'm your host. Today is the last episode with Hee-seok Chung. Hello, Hee-seok, how are you?
Hey, good, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for sharing your personal story and ministry experiences.
Thank you for hearing me. It was great.
Yeah. And thank you for encouraging me a lot as a person and also as a minister. Mm. And I'm very excited to hear your future visions. Mm. For next generations. Mm. So my first question, big question, what are the potentials for second generations to advance God's kingdom?
I think the potential is great. I mean, I think we can all share, especially Korean American, if you're Korean American, we can all share. The immigrant group of Korean Americans, I'm pretty sure this is the same thing with many other ethnic immigrants. We placed a lot of emphasis and effort in education. We raised up a generation where we are very competent, very smart, even influential in the societies that they belong to. However, I feel like it doesn't get transferred into the life of as a Christian, or church doesn't provide enough ministry platform or provide the vision that can use whatever that we have provided for them to be so great. So many of them that are like medical doctors, lawyers, like managerial position in a well-known corporation, has such a big influence in where they are, and what they say matter a lot to the society. Except that potential is not being challenged enough. The potential is, I feel like, focused very strongly or heavily on developing or building their personal wealth. Mm. So if we're talking about just the potential wise, I think we have a great potential.
Mm. So what keeps them from living that potential?
I kind of put it, we can kind of put it in two different ways. I kind of put it in two different formats. One's the departmentalized format of EM. I think I shared a little bit about it in the last podcast. And another one is kind of the whole consumer attitude of culture that we developed in our church. What I mean by the departmentalized format of EM is that EM group or second generation group normally grew up in a very small, compact ministry. And the church, as Korean church, puts a lot of limitation on what they can do, or how they can use the building, what they can develop as a ministry, what they can actually dream about having vision. Church puts a lot of limitation, financial limitation, with their space, the time, even their thoughts. I realized serving in ministries where I would present different visions and they would say, you're just dreaming. Just take care of the people you have. Don't think about doing anything else but what you have in your hand. And that limits the second generation. That kind of makes them always think about, what do I gain? What do I get from the church? Which leads to the whole consumer attitude of a Christian, that whole culture, where we grew up in the church where the church provided us everything. We go to Korean churches normally provide lunch. Second generation normally doesn't do anything to provide ourselves a lunch. We don't normally participate in church hard work. We don't participate in making decisions, financial decisions on the church. We don't even participate in the ministry decisions of the church. We just get announced by the church, we got this ministry going and we need a lot of manpower, so you should come and help. That's kind of normally the way the ministry opens and the ministry, the steps that we can take. But we're very used to church doing everything for you. We're very used to, I was a congregational member until in my late 30s. Even for me as a lay leader, I had an expectation for the church leaders, the top leaders to come after me and then kind of, you know, almost beg me to participate in their leadership, to convince me to do things. I had to be fully convinced by this person to think that, hey, this is worthwhile to serve in the church, although I was a very strong of a leader within the church. So we developed the culture where we feel like the church has to serve me. The pastor is hired by us, and the pastor is paid by our, I guess, offering to help me. But then if you think about it, if you kind of see what the church is called to do, nothing can be further away from the truth. The head of the church is Christ and Christ alone. We're called as a body, right? Body does not think. Body does not decide what to do, right? Body is to do things of what the head tells you to do. We receive what Christ wants us to receive spiritually, and we are called to do, carry on the ministry of Christ. That's why we are church. So the congregation member of a church is not there to receive and feel good and go home, as if you're going to a counseling session, you pay money, go in, receive good counseling and feel good and go home. But we're called there to receive encouragement to live out the life of a Christian. And for some reason, at some point, I think that component of a church has kind of, it was kind of gone. So we listened to a lot of good sermons, we kind of gained a lot of knowledge, and we kind of call it end at that. I used to, you know, when I first became a pastor, I used to preach a lot and saying that, you know, we are becoming a buffet line Christian, where we come to church and all we care about is wanting to be fed, wanting to be fed, and wanting to be fed. Like you go to Chinese buffet line and just eat and eat and eat. But it works the same way like your physical body does. You can be fed with all the biblical truth, but you don't exercise. You don't put the energy you gain in you into actual life. You become sick and you eventually die from the sickness. Spiritually, we're the same way. But then somehow we think that, many of us think that, you know, church is to feed me intellectually. Church is to feed me spiritually. And I am satisfied with what I'm being fed. And I want to go to a church where I will be satisfied with what I'm being fed. And that's it for the church. But guys, I'm sorry. You know, God did not give us a church so that he can feed us and feed us and feed us. God gave us the church so that we can go out and carry out what he has given us. And I think we're missing that component. And EM is missing that component big time, because that whole departmentalized format of a church taught us that we shouldn't do a whole lot. We shouldn't dream. We shouldn't put a challenge in the church. We shouldn't do anything that could cause a trouble within the church or create something that becomes a hardship for the church, or stepping them out of the comfort zone that they have and making them do things that they're not familiar with. We grew up in a church where we were very strongly discouraged from doing that. And I think that's really hurting us. I think that's really hurting us big time.
Wow. So how can first generation help the next generation to grow as spiritual leaders? Vice versa, how can the next generation to help first generation churches to continue to grow? And also, how can this next generation impact world missions and other races in the United States? Dreaming big together, but not just dreaming, but actually carrying out tasks together.
I believe first generation can have a little more perspective change. I remember growing up in a Korean church in the KM, thinking that when you think about the word mission, I only thought about overseas mission as a mission. But I think the churches should start thinking a little differently, because the second generation is your mission. You know, even if you look at the Deuteronomy chapter 6, as Moses presents, hey, this is the law God has presented to us, he puts a strong emphasis on, hey, teach your children, discipline your kids, let the word of God just saturate them. Let them meditate on it, talk about it, put it on the doorway so they can see it everywhere. They were called to do that before they went over to conquer and carry over God's mission. I think we're kind of forgetting about it. First generation thinks that I can't generalize it, but most of them think that if we just bring our kids to church, even if they're young or even if they're a grown up adult, if we can kind of force them to come to church and drop them in the church door, then church can handle them by, you know, nourishing them and discipling them and growing them in a mature Christian. But truth is not really there. The parents have to take on the role. First generation has to take on the role of becoming the mentor for the second generation. I remember even speaking to one of the conference in Colorado about this, where I talked to many, many second generation college students and asked them, hey, do you know what kind of Christian life your parents went through? I asked them, do you know what they're struggling spiritually? Do they ever talk to you about how they're really clinging on to God in certain different difficulties in their lives? Most of them, if not almost all of them, said no. They have never had a moment where they're openly being communicated from the first generation of this is how God spoke to us about what we should do as a Christian. And this is how we're carrying it out. So the whole mentorship from the first gen to second gen is in large disconnected. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure all the second generations heard this a lot, or say this a lot, that first generation really do not care about the second generation. Second generation most of the time say, hey, they're just a bunch of hypocrites, because at home they're different people compared to when they're at church. They don't never care about us, they never listen to us. Second gen talk about this all the time. And first generation would say, hey, we gave you the room, we gave you a pastor, you do your own thing. Don't bother us. But then the most important thing that should happen between the two generations is continuous dialoguing, continuous mentoring, continuous responding from the second gen. First gen often are very scared of the language barrier. I realize that most of the time, language is not the barrier. Barrier is the cultural. First gen can overcome that by even speaking flat out to the second gen in Korean. They'll be okay. Most of them, even if they don't really understand the first generation fully in speaking Korean, they still feel that first generation cares. They still experience the whole heart of mentorship to the second generation. And that goes far. So I really believe the first generation can do a whole lot to the second generation. And it can open up all kinds of doors. The first generation are most of the time very, very isolated to just do the ministry just amongst themselves. I actually believe that a lot of drama that happens in Korean churches happen because they just don't have enough to do. So kind of we used to say, you know, the immigrant first generation, you know, everybody knows how many plates that they have in your friends or your other churchgoers' house, right? You know exactly how they live, what kind of income they have. It's because we're so close together. But then the thing is, downside of it is, we are just close to just amongst us. And like I said earlier, church is called to act out, carry out the missions that is given to us to become healthy. And church in the Korean church, first generation in that aspect, we're failing at what we gain there to kind of impact our environment or neighbors or even our city or, you know, the country or state. We're kind of missing that component, living it out component. I know first generation is kind of insecure and then scared about that a lot. But first generation can do it if second generation does it together. So if first generation opens up their heart and then reach out to the second generation, desiring to mentor them, desiring to dialogue with them, desiring to hear what they are going through and have the heart to work together to get through what they're going through, I think first generation can offer so much more to the second generation.
Wow. That's very, very thorough, very practical insight that you have shared. So I really hope and wish more first generations would be able to understand and grasp and at least to try what you just shared. Thanks so much for that. And what do you see God would do among second generations in the next 5 to 10 years down the road?
Honestly speaking, I do not know. I think we're in a damage control mode right now. If anybody's in the second generation ministry, I think we're in a very strong damage control mode. We can't put a whole bunch of group of injured soldiers and then give them like swords and spear and then tell them to go out and fight a war and expect them to win. It's just not possible. So I think the first step is to reach out and then tend to their hurt and pain and their suffering. And the second generation group has to start desiring a vision to carry on the calling for God. I think we go through identity crisis because we don't have a clear direction given by God, or we're not going toward a clear direction that we know this is why God brought us together. And I don't think we can do it unless we have a healthy church. Unless we have a church that we can dialogue freely. Unless we can have a church where we can kind of butt heads at times, where we can kind of come together and like cry together, and laugh together, and point a direction and struggle together to get through. Unless that happens, I don't think we will know. And for that, I think we need a healthy church format where we can grow and ask God, and then let Him stretch us. You know, let Him challenge us, let Him mature us. As we do that, I think, you know, the vision will be more clear. If the vision becomes more clear, the mission becomes more clear. So I think it's too early to say in 5 or 10 years, I see God doing this to us. But I recently went to a conference that happened at North American Mission Board, and they had about 30-some Korean-American pastors that came out, and we had great time just talking to each other, listening to the pain that people are going through, pastors are going through, or the lay leaders are going through, and kind of hearing out what some other pastors are doing to help that. And I was very encouraged to see that there are a good amount of pastors that have a strong desire and passion to help, to reach out, to provide what it is necessary for us to get out of this whatever that we're in, and kind of learn to step up or step out of our pain zone, and kind of, you know, start pointing ourselves to a direction where it is God glorifying or kingdom expanding. But we're at a stage, I think, we are still in need of reaching out. We're in need of hearing, listening to what they're going through. And we are in need of learning what we ought to do to provide help, what we ought to do to point, give them a vision, what we ought to do to point them a direction, and they say, let's go together. And through many people that are really committed to serving God in that way, I think God will provide us a healing. Once that healing is done, I think God will give us a vision. I don't know what that looks like. You know, many of us talk about the third generation ministry. In my personal opinion, we don't know what it's going to look like. Unless we can resolve what we have between the first and second generation, I don't think we can confidently ever say what the third generation may look like. And I think it's also, some of the second generation are completely detaching away from the first generation, thinking that we can do better. But guys, if we have not shown a good example of showing their redemption to the one that we feel like they hurt us, if we don't show their heart of Christ-likeness to the people that we think that they hurt us, our next generation will look at us and they'll think the same way. We will have no excuse to tell them that, hey, you know, use us as an example, because we put a foot on the wrong spot to begin with. We can't start a church with the anger in our heart. We can't start a church with the hatred in our heart. We can't start a church with the bitterness in our heart and talk about grace and love and think and hoping that our next generation will do better. So we kind of have to work together with the first and second gen and second to third gen. And I definitely restoration, redemption has to happen. Forgiveness has to be there between the first and second generation. Then I think second to third generation vision will be given to us. Mm. And if we're lucky, God will give us that in the next 5 to 10 years.
Mm. Wow. What you just said gives me 3-point sermon outline using H, mm-hmm. healing, mm. hearing, mm. and heading. We need healing.
Yeah.
And when healing happens, then we can definitely hear mm-hmm. what God is saying to us. And also we need to hear one another.
Right.
And then we can head together toward the vision God has given to us.
Yeah, great way to put it.
Wow. Yeah, it's Hiso, thank you so much for sharing your insights. I learned a lot from you. Mm-hmm. And I think that what you just said needs to be heard among many immigrant churches, mm. not just Korean American churches, but I think it's across the board. Mm. I think that's what many Asian, well, not just Asians, but many ethnic churches mm-hmm. are going through. Even mainstream churches are facing those same similar issues. So I really pray that God would really use this podcast to reach out to many other churches mm-hmm. to hear the vision, hear the insight that you just shared, mm-hmm. so they can start from healing to move forward for God's kingdom. Thank you again, Hiseok, for participating. You're welcome. Thank you so much. Listeners, if you want to hear more podcasts from us, find NC Asian American Ministries at your podcast and subscribe it. You can listen to our weekly podcast update. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.